I'm not asking for a show of hands on this question, but when is the last time you forgot something important? I think most of us would have something in mind or a number of things in mind. There are probably others getting up in certain age categories that forgot it, but they can't remember what it was they forgot. Forgot to mail a check. Forgot to pay a bill. Forgot to show up at an important meeting and, can't believe I forgot that. Forgot to turn in a report to your boss or your teacher. Forgot to be kind when you knew you should have remembered to do that. Or when's the last time you forgot an anniversary? I mean, this is dangerous stuff when you start talking about forgetting anniversaries. We just completed the most important anniversary there is, and that is Passover, the anniversary of the sacrifice of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and His sacrifice for us and our giving of Himself to Him in covenant at baptism and accepting that sacrifice and receiving God's Spirit. And so the Passover is like an anniversary for us. What's involved in remembering an anniversary? Some of the same principles Mr. Elliott was talking about you can apply to the anniversary. On an anniversary between husband and wife, let's say, do you show up for the anniversary, go through whatever you might do for the weekend, and then go away for the rest of the year until the next anniversary and then show up and just kind of forget the mate in the meantime? Tomorrow morning, a lot of people will show up for Easter sunrise service, and they'll show up for that Easter service, and they hadn't been there since the year before, and they are there in their way commemorating the resurrection of Christ. And their main time of dedication is just once a year, and they kind of forget God with the rest of the time, although they didn't really remember Him to begin with. Do you focus your attention on other women, if you're a man, and you have your anniversary and you give yourself to your wife there for your anniversary time, and then the rest of the year you kind of have the roving eye? And that's not what we do with an anniversary either. At an anniversary, you must consider what the other person wants of you. Kindness, good words, good actions. An anniversary is simply a reaffirmation of the love that you have for one another at all times. We kept the night to be much observed, or we call it the night to be much remembered. And we have a tradition that we do on that evening, and they vary a little bit, but the focus is to be on what God has done for us. And God says it's a night to be much remembered, and that kind of includes the whole incidences of Passover and unleavened bread season, which we're in now. God, knowing the tendency to forget, has given us a number of reminders about what we need to remember. Your wife may do that for you. My wife gives me some reminders, and oftentimes they come in the form of sticky notes. My daughter lives by sticky notes and lists. And I give you a list, and you look at that, and it's there. And hopefully you put it there, or maybe you put it on your refrigerator. This, I just happen to have a few, and I've got some notes on sermons that I've got in the future. And I put that in my Bible to help me remember what I otherwise might forget. God gives us a lot of spiritual sticky notes. And you might title this sermon, Spiritual Sticky Notes. Things that God wants us not to forget. That God wants us to follow through on. Because if we forget, you could be in trouble. Forgetting can be hazardous to our health. If you forget to pay the bill, you might have your light shut off or your home foreclosed on or any number of things. If you forget the anniversary, you're going to be in trouble. God says the same thing. Psalm 50, verse 22 says, "Now consider this, you that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver." You know, sometimes when you forget things, people get angry that you forgot. God does. Jeremiah chapter 18, and I will put together verses 15 and 17, but Jeremiah 18 says, "Because my people have forgotten me," he says, "I will scatter them and I will show them my back and not my face." You don't want God to show you his back as you are walking away from him. You want to be able to come face to face with God in prayer and to go to him and to have him respond to you. And he says, "But you forget me." He says, "You can forget me responding to you until you come back." Hosea 4, verse 6. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And how do we end up with lack of knowledge? He says, "Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. You shall be no priest to me. Seeing you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." So he thinks it's very important to keep our mind and our eyes and our focus on those spiritual sticky notes that he gives us. And he said, "I want you to remember this stuff because it's very important." And sometimes it gets a little redundant. It's kind of like, my wife reminding me of things. She'll say, "Did you remember to," whatever it might be. And I said, "No, I didn't remember that." And she said, "Well, would you want me," and she's done this now, instead of just nagging, she says, "Do you want me to write you a note?" And I'll say, yeah, go ahead and write me a note, and you can kind of be my assistant here. So she writes me a note and puts it up there, and then she'll say a little later, "So did you remember to follow through on that?" I'm working on it. Sometimes I remember, and even with the sticky notes, I forget. And sometimes I need a reminding over and over again. God sees us in need of being reminded time and time again. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here to a scripture that I will use near the end. But some of the things that we talk about in conversation with one another or in sermons, you say, "Oh, I've heard that thing so many times. Why is he telling me again?" Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12 says this. Peter says to the congregation, he's writing to, it's in your Bible, so it's to you. He says, "I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have." He says, I know you know them. I know you've been hearing these things for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. But I'm still going to remind you. So you might as well learn to like it. Verse 13, he says, "I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body." Let's talk about some of the things that God wants us to remember. What are some of the things God wants us to remember? Do you remember? Yes. Put first things first. Especially seek first the kingdom of God. What does God want us to remember? What are some of the things that he says? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember what? Remember the commandments. What else? You don't remember? What else does God tell us to remember? Yes. The what? Love your neighbor. Okay. A lot of things God says to remember. Let's review some of those things today. Yes, Mr. Rossman.
Remember the widows and orphans.
That's right. Remember them. A lot of things to remember. Exodus chapter 13. Turn to Exodus chapter 13. We've been reviewing some of these things. I know now why Mr. Davis took his coat off. We need to bring Catherine up here. She'd be... Exodus 13, verse 3, and Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place, and there shall no leavened bread be eaten." Remember not to eat leavening during this period of time. And remember the time you came out from Egypt. Now, there are, of course, spiritual lessons that we relate this to. And he was telling them to remember that. But remember that, too. And remember it well. We rehearse it each year. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 14. In Exodus chapters 12 and 13, the Passover occurred. You had the time leading up to that of the lamb and the putting the blood on the doorposts. And you can imagine that the people there at that time when their lamb was killed and the blood was put on the doorpost, that they remembered it very, very well. And that the generation probably didn't forget that incident. The little kids didn't forget that incident. And then the death angel passed, or the death passed through, and the firstborn died, and the screaming of those who lost their firstborn, and the deliverance. It would be kind of like 9/11. You know, how many have forgotten 9/11? You might forget certain details, but we'll always remember that in our lifetime. So they remembered, but Exodus chapter 12, verse 14 says, "You are always to remember this day and celebrate it with a feast to the Lord. Your descendants are to honor the Lord with this feast from now on." Verse 15, "For this feast you must eat bread made without yeast 7 days. How many people in the world remember that? There are some. But you're eating flat bread this week. And you go out in the general area of Phoenix, wherever you live, and people have forgotten that. He says, "You remember this and don't eat leavening." People don't remember what God says to remember. You've chosen to do so. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 24. "Remember, these instructions are a permanent law that you and your descendants must observe forever. When you enter the land the Lord has promised to give you, you will continue to observe this ceremony." It's not a one-time deal. You know, an anniversary isn't a one-time deal. You have your wedding, then you have an anniversary as a reminder of that. That's what God wants us to do. "And when your children will ask, 'What does this ceremony mean?' And you'll reply, 'Well, it's a Passover sacrifice to the Lord, for he passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt, and he struck the Egyptians, and he spared our families.'" And we remember that. And on the spiritual side, we remember that God called us out and delivered us from sin. The sacrifice of Christ delivers us from a certain death. And so we rehearse that each year. Exodus 12, verse 42, "It's a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt." We're to remember our being called out of the world and remember Christ's blood being shed for us just as much as they remembered that. And never forget. And if you quit going through the process, you will forget. I mean, we all can envision people in our minds who sat next to us for years, maybe were our parents, or have children who did these very things for many years, and then they quit observing them because, well, they were not really necessary. It was just for the Israelites. And then they're not keeping the Sabbath anymore. They may not even know that these are the holy days now, or what we did. And I think we can all think of people that we've known in our times that did forget, and then they forgot the law of God. Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses is rehearsing the Ten Commandments. And in Deuteronomy chapters 5 through chapter 9, he gives 10 references to remembering. So he's not just rehearsing them and saying, okay, these are those 10 commandments. He said, I want you to remember what I'm telling you. Don't forget it. It's kind of like big sticky note that he wants put on your forehead and on your heart. In the entire book of Deuteronomy, he discusses it 28 times. The fact you need to remember. Do not forget. Sticky notes all over the place. Nagging, if you will. Because he knows that if we don't follow through with this, we'll forget the principles involved. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 1, and Moses called all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. Be careful to do these things. Verse 6, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. He's having to remember coming out of Egypt. Verse 15, and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Well, the Sabbath is a weekly reminder, actually, of being called out. And the laws of God that he gave that are so valuable. How many of you on any given Sabbath, as you're driving wherever you live, unless you're close enough to walk, you can do the same thing, though. As you're driving along and you're thinking, all these cars. Last week, those of you that got stuck in traffic, I mean, there's cars backed up. And where are they going? What are they doing? Where are all these people going? Are they going to remember the Sabbath day? Are they remembering God's laws? Now, when God says remember something, that's when people are intending to forget. And if God says forget something, they'll tend to do that. Forget the ways of the heathen. When they go out and cut a tree down and erect it in their living room and put jewels on it. He said, you forget that. Oh, but that sounds like a good idea. He says, there are those who would put their back to the temple and have their face turned towards the east, worshiping Ishtar. He says, forget that. They say, oh, we like that, so we'll do that once a year on Sunday morning. We'll go out and worship the sun. God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well, I don't think that's important. Remember my laws. Well, I'll follow them as long as it's convenient. But what are they again? Chapter 6 and verse 12 says, beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Another sticky note. In chapter 6, verses 22 through 25, he rehearses the situation that brought them out of Egypt and towards the promised land. In chapter 8 and verse 1, he says, every command which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. Remember that he did that to test you and to humble you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He said, then I gave you a number of tests and I allowed you to go through certain things because I wanted to see if you would remember who God is. If you'd remember who brought you out of the world to begin with. I wanted to see if you're going to remember to follow through with the things I told you to remember. And so he gives tests to humble us. He said, I want you to remember that. Sometimes we don't do too well when we have those tests. Oftentimes, when we end up getting a test or a trial, we end up wondering where God went. Chapter 8, verse 11 says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, which I command you today, who fed you in the wilderness with manna. Now we are fed with Christ. He is the bread that came down from heaven. And he calls us, and we accept that sacrifice, and we're baptized and receive the Spirit. And then we come at Passover, and we take that bread in. And then we forget why it was that we're doing it. He says, they were fed manna that he might humble you and test you. And so he calls us, and he allows us to partake of Jesus Christ, to receive his Spirit, to be a part of God and of the Word of Jesus Christ. And as we partake of that, he then wants to see what our attitude is. Did you really take me in or not? Are you going to be humble or are you going to be proud? Are you going to forget me? And he says, I do these things to humble you, that he might test you to do you good in the end. You know, a lot of times it's in the meantime that we begin to wonder and to doubt because we're being humbled, we're being tested. And we say, well, this isn't good now. And as the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness, it was not good. But he does things to do good in the end. And he wants you to remember that. There's a purpose for this. It'll all turn out when we're serving God in the kingdom. When we're part of the bride of Christ and we are serving with him. He said, all the things we're going through now are to do you good in the end. Verse 17, and then he goes on to say, you know, when you get things that are good, he says, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Verse 18, it says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. That's what happens with the church oftentimes. You know, if you were back in times of worldwide and we would go to the feast and have 10,000 people under one roof, and then there'd be 10,000 people in another roof, and 8,000 under another at the same time, and there were just scads of people. Man, we did a good job growing the church. We did a wonderful job being big and bringing a lot of people in. And boy, we did a good job. He says, you got to be careful when things start to go good that you say, by my power and the might of my hand have gained me this strength. And I think oftentimes as a church, we kind of get to thinking we did a pretty good job. When he says, you shall remember me, it is he who gives you any power to do well. You know, I think if the United Church of God over the last year or 2 years had remembered just this scripture and applied it, we wouldn't be where we are today. Because I've got the best way to do it, or I've got a good idea, and I've done all this, I've done something else. And God wants to humble us and to test us and let us know it is me who gives you anything you've got. And if we forget that, then it says he may forget us for a while. Remember the shed blood of Christ, and the mercy of God delivers us. Not how well we can make unleavened bread or actually put sin out of our lives. It was not about, boy, I'm so good at getting rid of sin. It's about how good God is in forgiving us. And about how good the sacrifice of Christ is in allowing us to have those sins forgiven and to be delivered. Remember God and forget us. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Something else God wants us to remember is the things we've gone through and learned those lessons. And of course, there are the quotes from wherever the original came from, but whoever doesn't remember history is doomed to repeat it. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 7, he says, remember the days of long ago. Think about the generations past. And he's not saying dwell on the past and say, oh, I wish it were that way. But he says, think about the past and think of the things that happened and try to learn from them. And don't repeat the mistakes. And he says, ask your father and he will inform you. Inquire of your elders and they'll tell you. We'll talk about the way things used to be. I know my wife and I growing up in the church. I know Mr. Elliott's got the same stories, I'm sure. You grow up in the church and you see that long ago when the church was in a different state, I mean, some state of growth, and back in 1960 when we began coming, you know, Mr. Elliott was, family was coming before that, but there were 8,000 people at the feast, and that was pretty much it, except for a couple of places around and other places in the world. Kind of getting back to that, but I remember some of the things that happened as we were growing up, and sometimes my family and my wife's family were both servants in the church. You know, they were deacon and deaconess and served the people, and then became a local elder, and some of the people that would be over them did not treat them very well. And I look back and growing up as a kid, and I see that, and I remember it today. I say, I shouldn't treat somebody that way. And there were others who treated people very well and were wonderful examples. And you say, yeah, that was a good example. That's the way a person really ought to live. And so you remember the times of old and learn from them. Inquire of your elders, they'll tell you. Don't forget the lessons of past generations. Discuss it, meditate on it. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. As Peter writes this, this is almost just the spiritual version of what Moses wrote in Deuteronomy. He's using virtually the same terminology, but showing it's not just about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. It's not just about their being delivered. It's not just about their lessons that they learn in the wanderings. But here's a spiritual version of that thing that God said, don't forget. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. And this is in the New International Version. It says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life. You know, don't think it's your own power. Remember, we just read in Deuteronomy. It is God who delivers. God brought us out of Egypt. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and goodness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. And as the children of Israel were called out of Egypt and into the promised land, God has called us out of the world and into the kingdom of God. Verse 4, through these He has given us very great and precious promises, He told the children of Israel, you have the promised land. I will bring you out. I will deliver you into the land of Canaan. Well, God has called us out by His divine power, and He's given us these very great and precious promises, so that through them you might participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Put the leavening out. Come out of the world. And so as Israel escaped Egypt, so we can escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Verse 9, but if anyone does not have these godly qualities he's talking about, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Sometimes people go out and forget what it was like before they were called, or maybe they grew up in the church and decide they need to go get something that they never had a taste of. And they forget. We're cleansed from our sins and go back and do something that is filthy and something that shames the name of God. Goes back into the world. It happens. People can repent. And thank God for that. Verse 10 says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, you follow through with remembering your calling, remembering you were cleansed from your past sins through the sacrifice of Christ, as they were to remember the blood on the doorposts and their children being delivered. And they got delivered out of Egypt, out of the hand of the Pharaoh. He says, that's what this is spiritually for us. And then he says again, verse 12, so I'll always remind you of these things, though you know them and are firmly established in the truth. Nothing new. It's just that we got to remember what we know. Verse 13, I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. Something else God wants us to remember is that He makes promises and He keeps them. Turn to Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46. There are times of test. The children of Israel, there are 10 plagues. When Moses came and said, God sent me to deliver you. So, oh, good. This is good. This good thing is happening. And then this bad thing happens. And Pharaoh says, no. And then, okay, well, we're making progress here. And then the Pharaoh says, now we can go. And then this plague happens. And, well, now he says we can't go. Yeah, that happens with us. Sometimes we ask God for something and say, God, you promised to deliver me. And so, okay, good. Well, it looks like it's working really well. And then there's a setback. And then something else pops up. Say, why is God allowing all this stuff to happen? God promises to deliver us. Why do I have to go through these things? Isaiah chapter 46, verse 8. He says, remember this and do not forget. It's kind of like a double sticky note. Okay, I'm going to give you this sticky note that says to remember it, and I'm going to write you another one in the same place and put it over here in case you forget that sticky note. This is pretty important stuff. He says, remember this and do not forget it. Think about these things, you who turn against God. And you start backing off of your promise. Verse 9 says, remember what happened long ago. Remember that I am God, and there is no other God. Hey, it's me. How did you get out of Egypt? Remember? It was God that did it. How did you get called? Was it that you were so smart? Was it that you were just more intelligent than the next person who studied your Bible more? Well, if your mind is open, because God opened that mind, just like He opened the Red Sea. And He says, remember, there's no other God. I'm God. There is no one like me. You say you believe in me. I'm that God. You know what else? Verse 10, from the beginning, I told you what would happen in the end. You remember when you were called or began really understanding the truth? My folks were called into the church and I was 10 years old, and one of the first books that they got, or at least I remember at age 10, was this book that says 1975 in prophecy. And I read the book at age 10. I read the Bible and I read things, and I of course I opened up and looked at the pictures too, you know, Basil Wolverton and Boyles and burning buildings and people and dead people with being bulldozed into ditches. And that had an impact. And I remember that. I haven't forgotten that. And that's been 51 years ago. And I read what happens after all that stuff. Well, if you could erase the date on that. In prophecy, and you look at the Bible, and it says that in the end, as Mr. Armstrong would phrase it, we win. And so, he says, from the beginning, I told you what would happen in the end. And you have been living for that. When you look at all the stuff that's happening out there, and you say, we really need the kingdom of God. We need Christ to return to deliver us from this mess this world is in. It's the only hope. And we look forward to the kingdom, and we give sermons about being the bride of Christ and things, because Christ is going to return and put an end to this. So from the beginning, I told you what would happen in the end. A long time ago, I told you things that have not yet happened. 1975 in prophecy, the book I read when I was 10 years old, it's been 51 years, and some of those things have happened that I read in that book. Most of them haven't happened yet. Certainly, Christ has not returned to this earth. We haven't gone through the tribulation. We haven't done those things. But a long time ago, I told you things that haven't yet happened. It was told a long time ago, it still hadn't happened. Remember, I'm God. And he says, even though it might take a while, the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And then Moses is here in Deuteronomy telling them, we're just about to go into the land promised mainly to your fathers and mothers who are unfaithful. But it's happening. And yeah, it took a long time. And it goes on to say, when I plan something, it happens. Because I'm God. He says, what I want to do, I will do. Remember, he started this in verse 8. He said, remember this and do not forget it. And what do? We get into a trial. We get into a test, and it's not going the way we want, and we forget it. He said, where's God? Why isn't God intervening for me? Why isn't it happening now? Why is it taking so long? If we believe in God, he says, remember, I am God. There's none like me. And I promise something is going to happen. Verse 13. I will soon do the things that are right. Now, this was Isaiah penned this. And this was a few thousand years ago. It still hasn't happened, although some of the things he said there would happen that were more short term. He says, I will bring salvation soon. I will save Jerusalem and bring glory to Israel. What if God had done all that on their time frame? You wouldn't even be, none of you would be here, be thinking about the kingdom. No, God's doing it on his time frame. Let God do his work and trust him. Remember this and do not forget it. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 8. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 8. And here's this ragtag group of people who have been wearing the same clothes for the last 40 years. Literally. I'm sure they had some new ones for the kids as they grew up and killed a rabbit and put on their feet or whatever they did. But they've been wandering in this wilderness for 40 years. Many of them had died, and well, most of them had died. A good portion of them had. And he says, chapter 4 and verse 8, "What great nation has decrees and regulations as righteous and as fair as this body of instruction I'm giving you today?" You know, he's giving his word to these people. And he's in a sense calling them a great nation, but they were not a great nation. Many of those around them were much better, much bigger, had armaments. They didn't have any of those things. But he says, "I've given you these things." We're a small church, a little flock. But we're called the first fruits. And he's given us this body of knowledge and understanding and deliverance that he just has chosen to give to a relatively few people in the world. And he says, verse 9, "But watch out. Be careful never to forget what you have seen. Do not let these memories escape your mind as long as you live. Be sure to pass them on to your children and to your grandchildren," which I know you try to do. And sometimes that's limited because sometimes our children go away and they don't want us to expose these things to our grandchildren. And sometimes we get opportunity to expose our grandchildren and give them some of those things that the parents forgot to teach. But he says, don't let it go away. Pass these things on. They're so important to God. And he says, verse 10, "Never forget the day when you stood before God at Mount Sinai, where he told me, 'Summon the people before me and I will personally instruct them. And then they will learn to fear me as long as they live, and they'll teach their children to fear me also.'" Do you remember when God opened your mind? Again, many of you grew up in the church. Remember when all of a sudden you were standing, as it were, before Mount Sinai, and the book opened and said, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." So I knew there was something missing. I knew that all the religion I've had all these days wasn't showing me the truth. And then God opened it before you. Remember that? The opening your mind? And why would we close that again? Why would we neglect or reject that calling that he's given to us and those wonderful instructions and the blessings and benefits he gives? Psalm chapter 103, verse 2 says, "Forget not all his benefits." Oh, he's given us such wonderful things. And I, you know, and as we talk about it, as various things happen with just, you know, Dale DeMears and some of the things that have happened in our lives, and we see and suffer the loss of loved ones. And don't you say, "Wow, what would I do without the truth? If I didn't know how this was all going to end, how could I possibly make it through this?" That's that word being open to your mind. And God giving you that wonderful blessing and that wonderful benefit. And he says, never forget it. You'll be lost if you do. John chapter 15. There are many things from the leaving Egypt and the Passover that the children of Israel were to remember. It's interesting that Jesus here on that night in which he would be betrayed took bread and talked to these individuals, and he says, there's something that's going to be very important for you to remember. And so Christ takes a spiritual sticky note and slaps on their forehead. And these guys took it off, if you will, and stuffed it in their pocket. And they went through the next little while. And after Christ's resurrection, reached down in their pocket and found a crumpled note and says, "Remember this." This is that. Something we need to remember. John 15, verse 18. "If the world hates you, remember it hated me first." Now, I oftentimes, when somebody says, "You know, I just lost my job because I took off to the feast. They want to dock my kid a grade in school because I'm taking him out for the holy day." And I'll just say, "You're in pretty good company. Remember, they killed Christ for what he believed." And Jesus says this. He says, "Remember, it hated me first." Verse 19, "If you belong to the world, it would love you as it loves its own. But I have chosen you out of the world." It's like Israel came out of Egypt, so you don't belong to it. That's why the world hates you. That's why the world thinks you're weird when you eat this flat bread. It's basically good for nothing. I mean, some of it. Some of you make good bread and some of you only eat that. But did you go to the... I ran into Carrie at the store a few days ago before unleavened bread, and she was getting what I got. And this center aisle, there's a few people that do eat that stuff, and they have these matzos, and they come in packages of like 12. You know, and Kay said, "So do you have like a box?" "I don't know, it might be somewhere over there." We came back and we bought this case of matzos for like $3, so it was a pretty good deal. But if you really like matzos a lot, I got a bunch that I would share. And I've been eating quite a few, and I like to put butter on it and then jam on it, and it's kind of good. But the jam is good and the butter's not bad. But I think what we're going to do, you remember the old bars and things in the old hotels, and they had the ceiling tiles that were like that? We're going to paste those up and make ceiling tiles. But people think you're weird. Why would you do such a thing as that? Well, because God says to. Verse 20, "Remember what I told you. Servant is not greater than his master. The people did wrong to me, they will do wrong to you." And so when we get persecuted for what we believe, or people don't like us because of what we think or what we adhere to, he says, "That's all right. You're in good company. They did it to me too. And I want you to remember that." He continues in John chapter 16 and verse 1. New Century Version says, "I've told you these things to keep you from giving up." Not asking for a show of hands, but really, is there anybody here that hasn't at least thought of giving up sometime or the other? I'd be surprised, because Satan wants to put that thought into your mind. That's not worth it. You'll never make it anyway. You're not good enough. Too much is going on. You can't take it anymore. Now, so there's the thought of giving up that will be there. Maybe it's just a real short thought because you do these things. Sometimes that thought lingers, and sometimes people eat on the thought and it takes them away. But he says here, "I've told you these things to keep you from giving up." And what does he tell us? Verse 2, "People will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that those who kill you will think they're offering a service to God." In other words, you're going to go through stuff. And whether it's people actually persecuting you, or whether it's trials or tests to test you to see what's in your heart and whether you're humble. He says, "I'll do this because they have not known the Father and have not known me." And verse 4, "I've told you these things now so when the time comes, you will remember I warned you." You know, and the apostles went through a lot of stuff, and I'm sure that they wondered what was going on after all that. And then, like I said, reach in the pocket, reach out that crumpled sticky note, and says, "Oh yeah, he reminded me. So I can make it. God knows it. God's powerful enough. He gives us a promise. He will keep it. He is God. He does not renege." Hebrews chapter 12. You know, oftentimes we go through things and wonder, where's God and why? Again, Satan's going to put that thought there, and it's a natural thought anyway. But notice these words that on the surface don't seem too encouraging, but well, Christ said, remember, you're going to go through some stuff. Hebrews 12, verse 5, today's English version says, have you forgotten the encouraging words which God speaks to you as His children? And sometimes we do that. We forget these encouraging words because we think they're discouraging words. And he quotes God. He says, my son, pay attention when the Lord corrects you, so that when it does happen, you will remember I told you. Okay? Pay attention when the Lord corrects you, and do not be discouraged when He rebukes you. Why do we have to go through this big trial in the church? I don't know. I didn't like it. Hated it. But we learned some things. We better have. We don't want to waste a good trial. Verse 6, because the Lord corrects everyone He loves and punishes everyone He accepts as a son. Any of you who have had children have heard your children say, Dad or Mom, it's just not fair. Why are you doing this to me? Why can't I go over to Johnny's place? Or why can't I have the car? Or why did you take this away from me? Or why are you punishing me? I mean, if you didn't have a kid that said that, well, I'm jealous. Okay. But you did it because you cared for them. You wanted what was best for them. You didn't want something bad to happen to them. Well, they thought it would be fun to go and do this, and you knew it would probably end up injuring them or damaging them in some way. You did it because you loved them. And that's the way God is. And God says, have you forgotten the encouraging words? So He says, when you go through things, you wonder why they don't let up. And you want, I don't want to go through this. Remember those encouraging words and the words of Christ so that you won't give up. Let's just turn to a final scripture, and I know there are many more things that God wants us to remember, but these are some basics that will see us through our times of test and trial. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Acts 20 and verse 35. Christ came and washed the disciples' feet. And He says, if I've done these things, you do them. He says, you give to one another. You have that attitude. And He says, that's something you need to remember too. Never forget it. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, New Living Translation says, Paul says, I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You know, to serve one another, it takes work. It takes time out of your life. Takes effort. And he says, I've given you that example. And he says, as I serve Christ, then you follow my example. And we could follow Paul's example here. And then he says, you should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. There's something else he says. So I ask, so what things does God want us to remember? He wants us to remember it's more blessed to give than to receive, a servant's heart like Jesus Christ had, and He gave Himself for us. And we need to give ourselves for others. As in the next few days we complete these days of unleavened bread, we'll be done with Passover and Night to Be Much Remembered, and we'll go back to eating leavening, which we can do, and it's all right. But when we go back to eating leavening and we go on until our next anniversary of the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all of the lessons that he wants us to learn about being called out, remember God's merciful plan. Remember our calling.